And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with our special guest. Connie Willis has been in the television and film industries for more than 20 years. She enjoys discussing topics of the strange and unusual. Every once in a while, we will feature her with her Where's Willis feature. And of course, she loves stories on Bigfoot. Connie Willis's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's her name, ConnieWillis.com. Connie, welcome and thank you for what you do for us.
Oh, my gosh. I am so happy to be a part of it. How are you doing, George Norrie?
I am great. What a treat. Are you still hunting Bigfoot?
I am hunting Bigfoot, strange lights, orbs, you name it. I'm out there chasing it and trying to pull the pieces of the puzzle together, but more so trying to see how they're all similar, you know? They all attach in some way, and that's my goal. What is it? What are they?
What were you like as a little girl? I mean, were you into all these strange things?
You know what? I was. And, you know, it comes to you, right? You don't really go to it. It comes to you.
Yep.
If it's really passionately and genuinely inside you, right? That's how we're all different from the rest. But it was a combination of that and being in love with somebody that was doing something that I really enjoyed. And I was president of his fan club, and that's the guy you know, David Whitman.
Yep.
So I liked, you know, it was all about broadcasting and this. So this is awesome to be a part of it.
Well, the David Whitman story is amazing, Connie, because as you know, part of this, David and I went to the University of Detroit together, and we were in the same broadcast curriculum. And he was working at a television station in Detroit, and he lived in Cleveland, and he wanted to go home for Christmas. Well, they told him, you can't go home for Christmas unless you can get someone to fill in for you. We need you. We were copy boys then. We were still in college. We did everything for $2 an hour. We ran everything. We played with the teletype machines. We got coffee for the people. And they said, you got to find somebody to replace you for a couple weeks. And so he came up to me one day, we're in broadcast class, and he said, George, do you want to work for me at WXYZ TV, Channel 7, for a couple weeks? And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he said, no. And I said, I'll do it. I'll take it. So I did, and they loved me. And so when David came back, they said, David, you're still here. We love you, but we're going to keep George with us. And you guys can both all work here and get the same hours and everything else. And that was it. That's our friendship started right from there.
I love it. I know. When he told me that, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, my gosh, is this a coincidence? But you know what? I don't believe there are coincidences. So I thought that was really neat.
Absolutely.
I really did.
When are we going to have another Where's Willis on the program?
I am ready to go. You know what? With this COVID stuff going on, a lot of these places are closed up. And I'm still doing my shows with the Blue Rock Talk TV.
Good.
And one of those shows, you know, it's the Bigfoot Friday like you're talking about. It's the Far Out Thursday. But also on the road with Connie is Creepy Hotspots. But some of these creepy hotspots are closed. So, or you can't get into the parks, or you can't get into the areas where these are. However, there's some people that have been able to finagle their way in, and we would live stream it. So because they're in the right spot at the right time, they're able to do it. But as soon as it's all clear, you know, I'll get to be able to do it myself, and I'll be doing some Where's Willis's, because there's nobody that can say it better than you. You got to say it. I love when you do it. Where's Willis?
Where's Willis? We're gonna take a few calls with you where you were on, and
okay.
let me also thank you publicly, Connie, for your contribution to Coast to Coast, your passion for this program, and you know keeping Art Bell's legacy going with these kinds of shows, and it's really helpful to us because you know I want to make sure that the people who fill in for me or do the weekend shows. Have that same passion and desire that we have. And you're one of those. And just thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying that, because you're right, I do have it. But, you know, it's Art's legacy, but it's yours as well. And I cannot, and I'm not sucking up to you any way whatsoever.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, let me do it. Okay. Wait a minute. I'm on my knees right now looking up. No. You know, you are... Everybody asks me about you whenever I go anywhere and if they know what I do. And all I can say to really describe you is polished broadcaster. And you are. you are a polished broadcaster. You are exactly all the stuff I've worked for, you know, that you get taught in school and you do the different things and the experience, and you are it, and you are in the primo spot. And so it's great to be able to not just work with you, under you, but to be able to email you and ask you a question and get it right from you.
I was lucky to work in an era, Connie, that was broadcast journalism at its best.
Yeah.
Where, you know, opinion, you know, stayed out of the news person's mind, and he reported or she reported on what was going on. I saw the Walter Cronkites, the Eric Severides, the John Chancellors, all those people, Edward R. Murrow and those folks who were just great broadcasters. And I'm kind of old school. I mean, I come from the old program where a microphone is always live, whether it's on or not. You keep your mouth shut until the mic goes on. You know, you watch your verbiage, don't swear, do all those special things that you can do. And that's where I came from, and that's what I've learned over the years.
Yeah, and keep in mind, my mentor was David Whitman, who was right there with you.
Yep.
And going to University of Kentucky, the people I learned from were from that generation and that era. And so I was taught the same thing. So watching you, listening to you, being around you, it's just everything I was taught. And you don't see that everywhere else. I don't like the other stuff. So I'm very happy to be here and a part of it.
Let's take a couple calls and continue chatting. We're talking with Connie Willis, one of our special hosts on Coast to Coast, West of the Rockies. We've got Vonnie in Seattle, Washington. Vonnie, you're on with Connie. I'd like that.
Well, good morning. Or I guess it's probably good morning.
It sure is.
Listen, this question is for Connie directly, but George, you can answer it as well. You guys are incredible interviewers, all of them. Everybody on Coast to Coast is an incredible interviewer. And if you had two upcoming guests, one being God and the other one being the devil, what would you ask them?
Ooh, Connie, do you want that one first?
Man, oh my gosh. Well,
You take the God question, and I'll take the devil question.
Okay,
and then we'll flip-flop.
Okay.
So you got a chance to interview God. Oh. What do you ask God?
Oh my gosh.
I don't even want to say him or her. It's God.
I would probably, I think the first thing that comes to mind is just, what's it all about?
And I would ask the devil, why do you hate so much?
Ooh, well,
That's interesting. Now let's flip-flop. What would you ask? What would you ask the devil?
What's it all about? Leave it open-ended, you know, right? Wouldn't that be the way to do it as an interviewer? Throw it at them.
And I would ask God, who created you?
Ooh, I like that.
I wonder what God would say about that.
He'd look at you and he'd put his finger up and go, tsh, to you. Come on now, George. You know better.
My God.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He would have said, my God created me.
Ooh. You know what? I think once we all pass over, we'll know all those answers. What do you think?
Let's bring Vonnie back. And Vonnie, what do you think of those answers?
I think they're great. I think you guys are the best, and I appreciate everything you do, and it's fun to listen to. And I'm old school. I'm 71 years old, and I've been listening since Art Bell, so it's wonderful.
Thank you, Vonnie. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Vonnie.
Super, super. How'd you get your name, Connie? How'd your folks name you that?
You know, whether I was going to be a male or female, it was going to be Connie. And my middle name is Francis, and whether it was a male or female, it was going to be Francis.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a cool name. And what are your hobbies? What do you like to do?
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? You really want to know that?
Yeah.
I want to go Bigfooting. I want to go out and look up at the sky. I want to, you know, at the beach or somewhere special. I want to go to see the Aurora Lights. I want to, you know, all that stuff that we talk about, that's it. And also have a microphone or a camera with me or both. That's my love. And golf. I like to golf.
But what do you shoot?
One time I got an 81. 82.
That's great.
I know. I couldn't believe it. You know, that's one of the perks of radio, right? People will want you to play at their golf course.
Have you ever played at the Mar-a-Lago?
No.
Am
Have
I
you?
Saying that? Am
Are
I saying that right?
Golfer?
No, I used to play golf back in my early adulthoods in my 20s, but it just takes up so much time today. I don't have time for it anymore.
Yeah, you know, everybody, just so you guys know, he works like a dog. I went to the studios one time out there in Sherman Oaks, and I didn't even expect to see you. I was just there seeing the VP is from Kentucky, you guys. So I'm out there, I'm saying hey to him, and I got to see the studios. And then here comes George coming in saying hello, and you said, I'm here every day at 2 or 2:30 or something like that.
It's my hobby. I
agree.
It's infectious for me. Let's go to Diana in the state of Washington. Diana, you're on with Connie Willis. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey. I wondered if Connie knew that Art Bell had almost super glued his lips together one night.
We play a little clip of that every once in a blue moon. Did you know that, Connie?
I heard one of those clips, in a blue moon at one point. Yes, I did.
He super glued his lips together, Diana.
All right.
Thank
you.
Those were some strange times, to be sure. Strange times. What has been, in your broadcast career, the strangest thing you've ever encompassed?
I can remember one time when I was live, and this was a TV show, and I remember as I was talking, I can't remember, I think it was some sort of sports show, and boy, you caught me off guard, right? I didn't know any of these
questions. Hey, those are my kind of questions.
So I'm on the air, and I just remember for some reason I was by myself, I thought there was somebody else with me. And they had to go off set or whatever had happened. It was just me. And as I'm talking, all the lights, there were tons of lights and tons of cameras. It was a big ordeal. But there was just a couple people there, and somebody tripped over something. And one light fell on the other light, fell on the other light, fell on the other light, and everything went down.
Gosh.
There wasn't weights on them. There weren't people holding them for whatever reason. It was, going on live, and all this stuff was set up, and everything just started falling. And there was somebody trying to grab one of the lights with their leg and the other light with their foot and their hand, and it was just so funny to watch, and I was just doing my best not to laugh or freak out in any way, but it was quite amusing. And I wish the cameras were on them at that time. That would have been really great.
Have you ever seen what you thought was a Bigfoot?
Oh, I had seen them, and I know that they were.
What do you think they are?
I don't know. I studied the Bigfoot are still new to me. Because I studied the aliens and the UFOs,
mm-hmm.
and remote viewing and the ghosts and all that stuff way, way deeper. And the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch are still new to me. But I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, these are the
extraterrestrial, interdimensional.
That's what we keep hearing, that they're interdimensional, that they could be alien, all these possibilities. I think it's an earthbound creature, a link between man and ape. It's kind of right in the middle. And, there are a couple thousand of them somewhere on this planet spread all over the place. And, of course, in the Himalayas, they had the Yeti, which was the white furred type creature that looks Sasquatch.
Yeah, there's some white ones around here, too. The Rockies are full. They're everywhere. They're highly advanced, and they're everywhere. I absolutely believe that. Have you seen one?
I have not seen a Bigfoot. I have heard a strange thing going on in the woods behind my old house in St. Louis years ago with my son. We were in the woods, and we heard a crackling of something that was big enough to be what could have been a bear, but there were no bears there. It was not a deer, and he was convinced he saw an ape running through the woods.
Oh, my.
A weird story. Let's go to Kevin, truck driving in Virginia. Hey, Kev, you're on with Connie Willis.
Hey, George, long-time listener. I love you guys so much.
Thank you, sir.
Keep me going at night.
Well, and you keep our country going, so thanks.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to ask Connie if she has read the raw material, the Law of One.
The Law of One, Miss Willis.
Yeah, you know what? A long time ago, I had, and a lot of people I know have. And have you read it? And what do you think?
I just started listening to the audio book about it, and there was a segment in there that was channeled about what Bigfoot is. And that's why I was wondering if you knew more about that.
Well, you know, I've read a lot of different books, and at one point I started putting them down and said, you know, I've got to figure this out myself. Because everybody's got their own opinion. Everybody's seen something different. And a lot of times people have just heard from somebody else. And then they've gone out and maybe they thought this. Or maybe they've never gone out before. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have tremendous books. And you guys have read them. You know them. We've talked to them here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie's interviewed them millions of times. And some of those people have never even stepped into the woods. They write from a different perspective. I like the perspective of experiencing them, hearing them, seeing them. So the alien, UFO world, all that, I dug in deep with David M. Jacobs and Bud Hopkins and that group of people, Richard Dolan, and when it comes to the lights. And I like to go to the people that have seen things and heard things. And then I want to go in that area and see if I can experience it myself.
Those were the giants of the industry.
Yeah.
There sure was.
Yeah.
There was a broadcaster who was interviewing the Dalai Lama, and he wanted to crack a joke, and he thought it was funny. And so he's asking the Dalai Lama, who's as serious as they can get, and he said, if you ordered a pizza, do you order one with everything? And nobody laughed because nobody got the joke. Nobody thought it was funny. You know, the Dalai Lama's into one and all this. And the poor talent who was saying this joke just kind of sat there on camera with nobody laughing. It was like his worst moment.
What was your worst moment?
Oh, in broadcasting?
Yeah, or on the show.
I haven't had any bad moments on Coast.
No?
But, you know, some of the frustrating things are, you know, sometimes if you go to a phone line and the guest isn't there or something like that, or those are rough. You got to really get ready to dance on stuff like that.
What's the guy's name, the talk show host guy that was big in New York, really rude shock jock? Who was that guy? Can't think of his name right now.
Mort?
No.
Mort Crowley?
Howard
Stern?
Yeah, Stern.
He loves our show.
Was on his
Boy,
show
has he time. Turned on President Trump these days. Whoa.
Oh,
and they used to be pretty close.
I'm not up that early. When's he on?
He's on Sirius XM. Well, we're on channel 146 there, as you know, as well.
You know, he's one of those guys that guys love. Girls, you know, I mean, they love him. I'm doing other things, but I was on his show once.
Well, you keep doing it, Connie, and keep doing what you do for us, okay?
You're the best. Thanks so much. I'm glad to be able to learn from you.
Connie Willis' website, and you can track all the things she does by going to ConnieWillis.com. Up next on Coast to Coast, more of our special hosts. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our next host is a giant in the industry. Let me tell you a little bit about George Knapp, a Nevada journalist who has been honored with the highest awards in broadcast journalism, folks, the Peabody Award. He's got a couple of those, the DuPont Award from Columbia University, the Edward R. Murrow Award, 27-plus regional Emmy Awards for investigative reporting. Just to put it in perspective, I've got 3. He's got 27. Environmental reporting, news writing. He's a longtime chief investigative reporter for a television station in Las Vegas, where he has worked as news anchor as well. He co-authored the best-selling book Hunt for the Skinwalker back in 1989. His reports about Nevada's Area 51 military base, selected by UPI at the time as the best individual achievement by a reporter. He basically broke that story. It is my honor to bring in George Knapp. Mr. Knapp, thank you for being part of the program.
Mr. Norrie, always good to talk to you. How you doing?
And you have been part of this program way before I was. How did that start for you?
Art Bell, you know, he was on KDON Radio here in Las Vegas, and he wanted to sort of expand, and he had talked to me about asking for an introduction to Bob Bigelow, who had just started spending money on UFO and paranormal-related research. And I made an introduction, and they Bob sponsored a program. It was Area 2000, I think it was called at first.
Right.
And that's how it started. I did the newscast. Linda Howe was part of it as well for a year or so.
I want to publicly tell the world right now, George, that you are the finest UFO host I have ever heard in broadcasting. There's nobody who compares to you.
Well, I appreciate it, George, that coming from you especially. But I've been at it a long time, you know, and I figured when I started this back in the late 80s, you know, what this topic needs is a good investigative reporter. Give me 6 months, I'll have this figured out. And here it is 30-plus years later, and I might know less now than I did back then.
Were you in the right place at the right time for studying some of these UFOs, getting Bob Lazar to talk and things like that?
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's a little bit of luck and a little bit of geography, moving to Las Vegas in the late 70s and then being in the news business and just running into a guy named John Lear, who was my first entry point to the whole topic. And then meeting Lazar. I mean, I had no idea we had the atomic test site outside of Las Vegas, or that there was a Nellis Air Force Base or a place called Area 51, or that I would meet a guy named Bob Bigelow, who became such a central player in all that's happened in ufology for the last couple of decades. But all that sort of coalesced, and I'm lucky to be where I am.
What do you think of the Pentagon revealing that, yeah, okay, we have this video and it's unusual, we don't know what it is, but it's right here.
You know,
interesting.
It's been exciting the last couple of years, the videos that came out, having statements from the Pentagon acknowledging these are unidentified, we don't know what they are. Now you're seeing in the last couple of days some pushback, which I always expected to happen. They're putting out articles that sort of cast doubt on UFOs and whether they're truly unidentified. I've always said that the people who have muddied the waters on this topic, the people who would come up with things like swamp gas as explanations, are better at their job than the people like you and I are at ours. No offense, but they've been at this a long time. They muddy the waters, they confuse us, keep us off balance, and I think that's what's underway right now.
George, what is your favorite UFO story?
Well, I would say Bob Lazar and Area 51. I kind of fell into that. That was my baptism by fire, learning all the personalities in the UFO field. I had no idea that people would still be talking about that 30 years later. And, you know, at that time, the prevailing paradigm was UFOs represent craft from other planets, ETs, that are visiting us. And now, you know, I'm not so sure that I buy that anymore. And what changed my point of view was Skinwalker Ranch. Bob Bigelow bought that project, that property in Utah, and had a team of scientists on it for a number of years. And yes, there were UFOs there, but it was Bigfoot, it's poltergeist, it's crop circles, it's all kinds of weird phenomena that seemed to coexist in the same place. And it was almost like a learning curve telling us that reality is a lot stranger than we might think it is. And somehow these phenomena are interrelated.
It's a strange, strange place, isn't it?
Very strange. You know, I always have had a good feeling when I've been there. I've been there a couple of dozen times and have spent the night many times there. And you know, some people go in and it's like they bring baggage into it. And if they're afraid, if they're hostile, they have bad experiences. I've always had good experiences there, although I've never seen anything that we could call paranormal.
George, the phone lines are lit crazy for you. Let's get some calls for you. Mike in Denver, Colorado, you're on with George Knapp. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you so much for doing this show. I'm really excited for it, and I think it was an excellent idea. You're an innovator, George, and thank you so much. Mr. Knapp, George, it's really great to talk to you as well, and, you know, when you think of Coast to Coast AM, you think of George Knapp. I mean, they go hand in hand.
Yep.
And, you know, I wanted to ask you, I mean, because you were kind of at the forefront, obviously, of the Area 51 movement, so to speak, this past year. What really got you motivated to be so passionate about that and put so much energy and time, and you made a huge difference for the UFO community. So thank you.
Well, for me, it was always the paper trail. You know, as a reporter, I can't go out and see UFOs when I want to, although I've tried hundreds and hundreds of times spending time out in the desert looking around. Have never seen one that I know of or that I can remember, but the paper trail is what got me hooked. Government documents, memos, reports that were written before the FOIA, before Freedom of Information Act existed, where these military agencies and intelligence agencies are very candid with each other in saying, these things are not ours, they're not Russians, they're from somewhere else, and we need to figure out what they are. After FOIA became the law of the land, of course, we got to look at some of these documents, and the Pentagon doesn't write documents like that anymore. At least they don't put them in where we can find them. So that's what got me started. It told me that these agencies that have dismissed this, that have lied to us, that have misled the public, provided disinformation about the subject, really do take it seriously. And that hooked me.
George, since you've been doing this, and you've been doing it for a long, long time, do you think we're in an era right now where we're going to really get the kind of disclosure we expect?
I do not. I hate to be a pessimist.
I'm like you. No, I'm just like you. I tell Steve Bassett all the time, it ain't coming.
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody, I'm not sure that anybody knows, George. I think there are obviously are people who know a lot more than you and I and the general public do. But there is no big push inside a government to reveal this information, and I'm not sure they really have an answer for it. They have an idea. It's alien to us. It's from somewhere else. But I'm not sure that they know for sure who it is, where they're from, and why they're here. And I can't imagine a president or national leader making that kind of an announcement.
Have you ever been approached by any agency to just try to quell what you were working on?
I have been approached by a lot of agencies, but it's never been the knock on the door that tell me to knock it off.
Okay.
And so, you know, I figure, well, maybe I'm doing something they want done, or they just don't care what I do.
What got you into broadcasting in the first place, George?
It was just pure luck. I moved to Las Vegas in the late 70s. A flip of a coin brought me here, and some guys I had met in Berkeley, California, said they knew a guy in television in Las Vegas, and he'd help me get a job. So the guy in television in Las Vegas was a studio cameraman at the PBS station, not exactly a broadcasting muckety-muck, but I showed up, and I bugged them long enough till they gave me a job sort of as a assistant carpenter and then studio cameraman, and I pestered the news department long enough till they gave me a try.
Were you a late bloomer?
No, I just thought I was going to be an academic. I was teaching at the university level and realized that it was not really what I wanted to do. I didn't want to get a PhD, and I didn't want to be poor the rest of my life.
Hey, when is Vegas going to open up again?
That's a great question. It's such a weird vibe here, George. I know you and Tom Danheiser are big Las Vegas fans. And
love it.
It is so weird. I mean, the lights are on, but nobody's home. They're taking small steps now to reopen some restaurants and businesses. It started a couple of days ago. We're still a ways before the casinos can reopen. They're, you know, implementing a lot of changes that would protect their workers and guests. They're doing it right. You know, the casino industry shut down on its own. They took this step before our governor stepped in, and Las Vegas might be the hardest hit city in the country, economically at least. Health-wise, we're not as bad. The numbers are not as bad as elsewhere, but it is so weird to see it, the strangest time. It's the first time some of these places have ever locked their doors.
And I'm so used to Vegas at night where, I mean, traffic is just horrendous and everything else, but people are hustling and bustling all over the place. It's got to be barren right now.
Yeah, you know, there's still people that are drive the strip. They just want to look around and kind of take it all in, and they can't wait to get back into those places and enjoy the shows. It's going to be such a change. I mean, can you imagine, George, being in a showroom in Las Vegas? You filled rooms here, packed them in with fans. Is that ever going to be possible again?
God.
Maybe not for a while.
Maybe not for a while. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Hey, Michael, you're on with George Knapp. Go ahead.
Hey, George, I wanted to ask you, it's a privilege to talk to both of you.
Thank you.
And I have a question for Mr. Knapp. What was it like before you got on the plane when you left the Soviet Union with those documents that you appropriated? I mean, what was your feeling? I mean,
When I'm on the plane, the feeling was relief because I'd already been through several checkpoints and it hadn't been stopped.
Tell us the story, George.
Well, I made two trips to the former USSR in the 90s. There had been an article in the New York Times about Lee Harvey Oswald and how the KGB opened up its files. And mm-hmm. it occurred to me, hey, maybe they'd open up their UFO files. Surely they have studied this like many governments around the world. I figured there's a window of opportunity there. And I met a Russian scientist who had worked as a national security advisor for the Russian parliament. And he agreed to help set up some contacts. So he did. He found people who had never spoken in public about the issue, but had been in positions to know. And I went over to Russia and met him and talked him into releasing some materials, some of which was still classified. And the Russian documents that were very sensitive, they would stamp them only on the top page. So I'm not sure I should say this, but I figured out a way to take them out. And I carried them on my person. And if they caught me, I'd be in a gulag somewhere.
Yes, you would. You wouldn't be hosting the show with us, that's for sure. Boy, that's pretty intriguing. Were you scared?
Yeah, pretty nervous about it because it was sensitive material back then. And Russia was a very tumultuous time period politically. There were demonstrations in Red Square almost every day. On the day that I arrived, Boris Yeltsin had ordered a seizure of the broadcast airwaves. The Russian parliament was suspended like 10 days later. It was very tense, and people were nervous about talking to us. And I think I went back 3 years later, and some of the people who had gone on camera and had helped me in 1993 would no longer talk to us because the rise of the Putin, pro-Putin folks, they didn't know what their future might hold if they cooperated with a Western journalist.
Earl is in Pennsylvania. Hey, Earl, you're on with George Knapp. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great show. Been interested in a long time. A lot of subjects you guys talk about on your show, man, have been piquing my interest ever since I was a kid.
It's the best.
But I wanted to ask, you know, in any of the stories or research that you've gotten, I guess it's for either one of you guys, you know, but have you guys found any kind of correlation in areas that are frequented by a lot of UFO sightings and then either like a couple of days before or a couple of days after, you know, there's like Bigfoot sightings in the same area?
That's an interesting question. And George, when you've studied some of these UFO hotspots, do you get any Bigfoot stories tied into that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Skinwalker Ranch is one example. One of the reasons why I was given the green light to go ahead and write about it is Bigelow's organization, NIDS, at the time, wanted to see if there were other hotspots that were similar to Skinwalker. And in fact, there are. Sedona, Arizona, Dulce, New Mexico, Yakima, Washington. All of them having a strong Native American presence, but with multiple kinds of phenomena, UFOs, orbs, poltergeist-type stuff, Bigfoot encounters, and other creatures, mystery creatures, crypto creatures. We don't exactly understand how they all fit together or if they do, but, yeah, they are often seen in proximity.
Extraterrestrials, UFOs, are they coming from other dimensions within the planet, other planetary systems? What do you think?
I heard you say something earlier tonight and previously that you think they live here. I do, too. I think they've been here a long time. I don't know what you call them. You know, if they have the technology that they've demonstrated, they could bend space and time. They could be from anywhere, anytime. They could be extraterrestrial and interdimensional. I think they're probably so far ahead of us that we may never figure it out.
George, what continues to drive you?
Well, I love the work, as it's a really exciting time for UFO research in particular, and it's expanded too. You know, doing the show, you know, TV, I love it. It's my job. I'm still active at KLAS, and I've got this website, Mystery Wire. Coast to Coast is such a vibrant platform. 4 hours a time, you can cover a lot of stuff.
You sure can.
You know, we get to interview writers who have really original ideas that might not get exposure other than Coast to Coast. And It's fun. It's exciting. I look forward to it every month when I host the program.
Well, and it gives you the ability to get to people. I just got a text tonight from Russell Crowe, the actor.
Wow.
Who's going to be in another, he's got another movie called Unhinged about road rage. And he's texting me saying, hey, when can I come on? The movie's in July. And, you know, that's intriguing. It's a great show.
You know, I've been on television here in Las Vegas a long time, so people will recognize me when I get out of the house, which isn't very often. But I'm amazed by the reach of coast to coast.
Oh, it's huge!
I remember being in a restaurant, Steve Lawrence, the singer, you know, the crooner. He pulls me over. Hey, I really love your work. Oh, you mean Channel 8? Oh, I'm talking about coast to coast.
And then that's fantastic.
John Fogerty, you just played a Creedence song.
Oh yeah, he loves the program.
I used the Coast to Coast connection to get an on-camera interview with him last year, and we stay in touch. It's been awesome.
That's fantastic. And, George, you keep doing what you do for us. Think the world of you, my friend. You're the best. George Knapp.
Thank you, George. Glad to be part of the team.
You got it, my friend. And George is going to be on, by the way, this coming weekend on Saturday and Sunday. He's got double duty. Up next, more hosts on Coast to Coast AM.